Amen. God is a good God. And we're here today to lift him up, to worship him. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to be blessed today. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, if you haven't been in a fight this week, then you should have if you're a Christian, because the Bible says we're going to be in a fight. And it just seems that he's always trying to destroy your joy, take away your peace, and just give you just that grumpy, grouchy mood, because that's what his job is, to take away your peace. But I refuse today. I choose to be joyful. You know, not because necessarily the situation has changed, but I can see the deliverance coming. I can see God's blessing and breakthrough. Hallelujah. And despite all the things that the devil tries to put on us, I refuse to let him win. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's February the 16th. Is that right? Man, we're already halfway through this month. Hallelujah. That means we're another day closer to Jesus' coming. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so grateful for God's grace and his love and his mercy. And as you know, we've been studying this month. Our title is God First. God First. And last week we talked about loving God. Amen. And this week I want to talk about three things. I guess I call them the three T's then. Three T's. So we're going to be looking at some things that are necessary to putting God first in our lives. Of course, our theme scripture is from Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does God know what you need? Yes, sir. Amen. Got some believers in the house. God knows what we need. God truly knows what we need. Sometimes we think we know what we need, but it's not what we need. It's what we want. A lot of times what we think we need is only what we want. And a lot of times I've been so glad God hasn't given me what I wanted, but he gave me what I needed. Amen. Because if I'd gotten what I wanted, I'd been in trouble. And the few times when he has let me have what I wanted, I got in trouble. Because sometimes, you know, he lets us get into the things so that we can see and learn. It's unfortunate from our human nature, but we learn more from bad situations than from good. We learn the stove is hot from the heat rather than someone telling us. But as soon as we learn it for ourselves, then we go, okay, I understand now. The stove is hot. Don't touch it. Amen. When we're growing up, our moms used to say, don't touch that. It's hot. And when we were young, we kept on going like we were going to touch it. But it's only after we got burned a few times that we believe. So sometimes God allows things into our lives because it seems to be the only way we learn. Amen. But if we were to just trust God and to seek him first, the Bible says all the other things that we need, he would give us. Amen. So I want to talk about three things that begin with T today when we're talking about God first. And that number one is our time, our treasure, and talent. We're talking about God first. And if God is truly first, those three things in relation to God will be foremost in our attitude and in our outlook. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That, Jesus goes on to say, is the sum of the law. And we know that we couldn't fully live the law, but still, that is the goal. If you could do that 100%, then you'd be perfect, because that sums up the law. That doesn't mean then, because we're not under the law, that we say, okay, I'm not going to love God, or I'm not going to try and serve him. No, that's not what it's talking about. What it's showing is the standard that we're to attain to. But today, this is our third February, and I want to talk about our time, our treasure, and our talent. Amen. What we are commanded to do is give our time. Give our time. And in fact, to me, that's the most precious thing that there is my time, because it seems as if there is never enough time. Never enough time. Why I'm smiling is because I'm just thinking about last night. I came home from praise team practice. It was about 6 o'clock, and I felt like going straight to the bed right then and there. I was so tired, but I had some other things I had to do. So when I finally went to bed, it was 8 o'clock, and I set the alarm for 10 o'clock, and I said, I got to get up at 10 o'clock because I got all this stuff to do. So I set the alarm, and it looked like I just laid down, and the alarm was going off already. 2 hours had passed, and I still didn't feel. I felt even like worse I should be sleeping. Anyway, I got up, and then I finally went to bed about 2 or 2:30, and then I set the alarm again. I tried to get another 3-4 hours, and then as I was waking up, my wife was saying, you got to get up because X, Y, and Z and all of this other stuff has been happening. You need to deal with this, need to deal with that. It was like, wow, Lord, can I get a little bit break? But you know what God was saying? Listen, I need your time. God should be first in our lives. Because if he is, what does the scripture say? All these other things. When we make time for God and be about his business, he'll be about our business. Amen. So let's look at this about giving our time. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus was going about, and he was going through the land of Israel teaching. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Coming to church is great. And what that does, it feeds us. It washes us. But God has a greater plan than you just coming to church. Because we are supposed to embody the word of God, the seed. And when you have a seed, it doesn't really, it's not very useful unless you plant it, and it multiplies. It multiplies. God wants us to give him a voice. Amen. I was talking yesterday, I was teaching the class down in at Parkway at the PI, and I said that what God wants of us is that we multiply, that we give birth. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that if when people look at us, all they see is a grouch? Somebody who's continually unhappy. Someone who's always needing their own situation fixed. At some point, we got to break out of what the devil is doing to us and be a witness. Amen? Because the greatest witness is a personal witness. You know, I can tell what God has done for somebody else, but it's more meaningful when I start telling you what God has done for me. Amen? I told them, and I've told you several times, Christians should be the most joyful, happy people. Not because our circumstance may be that happy, but because of who we belong to. Amen? Who we belong to, that this is not all there is. This is just temporary. Paul said, if in this life alone we had hope, we'd be above all men most miserable. If this was it, yes, we could be miserable and unhappy, but this isn't it. I have a hope. I have a belief. Like Job, going through his circumstance, his children all dead, his wealth taken, his wife telling him he should curse God and die. And yet he can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him. T- talk about having a joy despite the circumstance. Can you have a joy despite the circumstance? The only way you can do that, I think, is if you believe that this is only temporary. It's only temporary. God has promised us that if we endure, there's something better coming along. So he has called us to be witnesses. He said, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Just look at Milwaukee. Look at the situation in our neighborhoods and just the utter degradation, the terrible things going on. As you saw in the news maybe yesterday, this man set his girlfriend on fire, doused her with gasoline. So this world needs salvation. This world needs to know that there is hope, there is a deliverer. Obviously, that kind of thing is demonic. And the church should be in the forefront of the fight against things like that. How many people have we said this week, can I pray for you? How many people have we given out a card to and say, Jesus loves you? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know what that takes? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's what it takes. It takes giving our time. If God is first, does he deserve some time? Okay, so we come here on Sundays and we may spend, let's see, from like about 9:30 till 2. So we spend maybe 5.5 hours and then we maybe spend 1.5 hours on Tuesday nights, right? So that's about 7 hours out the week? That's really not that much time. There's 168 hours in a week. If we were actually giving 10% of our time, we'd have to double our time. Amen? If God is first, then we would give him more time. We give our job 40 hours. Isn't that right? Most jobs is 40 hours a week. And we'll take more if they'll give it. We're willing to take more. If they'll give us some more, we'll take it. We'll do 50. We'll do 60. Just keep giving it to us. Why? That's a priority. That's the almighty dollar. But you know, God could just take all of that away. Our health could just go. Then what would we do? It's because we have our priorities backwards. Okay, we'll do that. Then we'll do that. Then we'll do this. I've been planning in my mind, okay, on Wednesday nights, I'm going to just go out somewhere and give out cards. I haven't done it yet. This is to me. You know why? Something always comes up, and I don't put God and say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I got to do this. But I'm determined this week, I'm going to have to do something. I can't be preaching to you about giving more time and not doing it myself. You know, I mean, I can come up with excuses. I look back on this week and said, okay, all right, this is my plan. I got to teach PI, so that means I'm going to have to spend like 5 hours doing that Bible study. Then I got to do Sunday's Bible study. Then I got the message. And I can make excuses. But here's what he said. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Laborers. What is a laborer? A worker. Worker. It's no good sending someone who's not going to do nothing. A laborer is someone who understands labor, someone who is going to work. Amen? Someone who is going to work. You see, in the Old Testament, God did not use people quite the way he's wanting to use us today. In the Old Testament, he used angels. He used angels to do most of the messaging and to send messages. Let's look at that. In Exodus 23:20, when he was talking to Moses and the children of Israel, he said, behold, I'm going to send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. He didn't use people in that way in the Old Testament. He used the angels and to bring thee into a place where I've prepared. But the trouble with the angel was, of course, they were very strict. Don't mess with the angel. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgressions. for my name is in him. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. See, what is he saying? He's saying in the Old Testament, he used the messenger was the angel. And if you obeyed it, then God blessed you. In verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and to the Hittites. But we see in the New Testament there was a change. There was a change of messenger. And all I'm saying is that for God to use us, we have to be available. And life today is so busy, right? Most of you already got your week mapped out. Okay, I'm going to do this tomorrow night. I'm going to be doing this, and I got to do that on Wednesday. Okay, I got to reserve Tuesday. Give God 1.5 hours there. And we map out our week, and we just decide that we're going to make certain priorities. In the Old Testament, because of human nature was so far from God, he used the angels. But I'm talking about putting God first, and that he today is wanting to use you, me, and us. Let me give you an example. In the New Testament, though, he stopped using the angels. In the New Testament, the angels are not allowed to preach the gospel. He wants to use you and me. Let's look at that. In Acts chapter 10, verse 3, we see that Peter was on the rooftop of a house, and he went up there to meditate and to sleep. And he got this vision of this sheet being let down with all these kind of unclean animals, and the voice said, get up and eat. And of course, because Peter was a really observant Jew, he said, I can't eat this. This is not kosher. In the meantime, way back in this other city, God had given this vision to this Roman centurion. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Now, you're going to say, well, didn't you just say that God doesn't use angels in the New Testament? And I qualified it by saying he doesn't use angels to preach the gospel. So the angel could have come to Cornelius and told him what to do. But the angel was not allowed to do that. He said, listen, Cornelius, you need to go send and call for this man. God is probably giving visions to people you know and saying, you need to go and wait and talk to this lady or this man, and they're going to give you the message. But you know what? We're not ready. We're not available. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, and he was afraid, and he says, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. This man was obviously a good and righteous man for what he knew. Even though he was a Roman, he was not a Jew. He prayed, and he understood that the God of the Jews was the God. Now, but the angel could not tell him the gospel message. This is what the angel said, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Who to tell that there are people around you who have had a vision or a dream, and God has given them your name, but you're not available because God is not first. God is not first. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. So I'm skipping down to verse 12. God gave Peter a vision. God gave Cornelius a vision, but the angel could not give the message. He needed a man. He needed a woman. Why is that? Because the age of the angels being the mediator was finished when Jesus came. When Jesus died, as you know, the veil in the temple, it ripped in two, signifying that that covenant was passed. And I'm so glad, because you don't have to go to a priest to confess. You don't have to go to me to confess. You can, in your own closet, you can lift up your hand and say, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Amen. You can go directly to God now. You don't have to bring your turtle dove or your sacrifice to church. Because the sacrifice God is looking for is a broken and a contrite heart. That's what he's looking for. So we see that in the New Testament, instead of using angels to preach the gospel, he was looking for a man, a woman who was ready and willing and able. God is saying, I need your time. We wonder why we're not having much time is because we're not giving it to him. Because when whatever we give to him, what does he do with it? He multiplies it. This message is to me because I'm running out of time, so I need to give him more time. It's very contradictory to logic, but that's how it works. That's how it works. I was reading somewhere about one of these rappers, and really this is for the next segment, but he was telling that he tithes. Now I know, well, I don't know if he goes to church, but if you listen to his lyrics, they're not much to do with worshiping God. But he's learned that if you give to God, he gets blessed because it's just a law. It's contradictory that you could give to receive, but that's how it works. If we were to give God time, he would make time for us. He would make time for us. It's not logical. It doesn't seem logical, but that's what the Bible says. The little boy only had enough to feed himself, right? With the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. There was 5,000 people. If he had kept it to himself, he would have barely had a little snack. Because when we're thinking of loaves, we're thinking of the loaves that we have. No, this was more like a little pita bread. In those days, when they talk about bread, they cooked them on stones. They were little like pita-type bread. So it wasn't really a big meal. But in giving it to the master, instead of losing it, it became multiplied. Instead of just helping himself, he was able to help hundreds. What I'm saying, you may be going through some things right now and think, I don't have time to help nobody. I got crisis and drama in my own life. Give it to the master. Give it to the master. Give your time to the disciples said, well, what this little boy, all we got is this little boy, he's got some lunch and it's 5 little pita bread loaves and 2 small fishes. That's barely enough for him. What are we going to do with this? Jesus said, give it to me. Imagine if we were to do something that was counterintuitive. Okay, I'm really booked up this week, but I'm going to take Wednesday, go out and witness. Wouldn't that be amazing? We should try it sometime. Faith is the evidence of what? Don't make no sense. Doesn't look like it can be worked out. That's when you got to do it. Whatever you give to Jesus, he will multiply it. You give him your time, he will multiply it. I was thinking yesterday about the fact that it had snowed during the week. And I was thinking, man, I got to go teach PI. I'm going to be there all day. I can't get to the church to clean out the snow. And then someone called me to let them in at the back. So I turned on the camera because we have a camera out there so we can see. And lo and behold, someone was cleaning the sidewalk for me. Amen. You know why? I think because God knew that time I was actually going to be teaching, so I couldn't come. He multiplied the time for me. And the person wasn't asked, they just did it. And God is going to multiply time back to them. I really believe that. See, whatever we give to God is never lost. In fact, Paul said that he is able to keep whatsoever I have what? Committed. The safest place is not Fort Knox. The safest safe is not, behind a steel door. The safest safe is in God's hands because nobody can pluck anything out of his hands. Isn't that what the scripture says? Jesus said, I've lost none of them but for the son of perdition. So we see that what God wants us to do is to do something that's counterintuitive. So this week, somehow, I'm going to have to act in faith and do what I've been saying to myself for the last 2 weeks. I just have to put down what I think I need to do and go out and do some personal witness. The angel is not going to preach the gospel for you. That's my point. In the Old Testament, yes. But in the New Testament, no. He uses people. Are you available? Or is your calendar so booked up? Have you got the shopping first on Friday and the I can think of a lot of stuff that I've been skipping even. Like I'm supposed to have booked the church van in for an oil change, and every week I forget. You know what? It's going to have to take me, so I'm just going to have to take it in and sit there and make them do it. You know, I can always think of excuses. Jesus said, follow me. Well, I just got married. Oh, I just bought some land. Oh, I just got to do. Sounds like a good excuse. I got to go bury my father. Ooh. Did Jesus accept that excuse? Isn't that amazing? You would think that's pretty serious. I got to go bury. Let the dead bury. Sounds really hard. What he was saying, nothing should come before me. If you put anything before him, you're not worthy of him. Now that's a tough saying. The man said, but I got to go bury my dead. Jesus said, no, you follow me. In the Old Testament, we see it. The prophet Elijah came, and he came to this widow woman. All she had, and we studied this, was a little bit of meal and oil for herself. He says, well, this is all we got. We're going to make a little cake, then we're going to die because there was a famine. He said, give it to me first. That makes no sense. What, you big old man, it's just, I've only got my little son and I'm a widow woman and you want me to give you what I have? But guess what? She did it. And what happened? The Bible says that from that day on, her barrel of meal never emptied. Never emptied. Every day she went back, there was still some in there. Because whatever you give to God cannot be lost. If there's anything you take away from this today, remember that whatever you give to God cannot be lost. That's what Paul said in, I think, Acts 20. He said that whatever I have committed to him against that day, he has got it. It's when we try and keep it that it can be lost. You ever seen a little child and they're trying to, you know, do something and you know they can't do it. If they just give it to you and they're there fighting with it and fighting with it and fighting. Finally, when they've finally given it up, they give it to you and you fix it in about 2 seconds. That's us. That's us thinking we can manage things. So you see that God is wanting you personally. There's people you know I will never meet. Did you know that? There's people you know right now that I don't move in your circle. See, God told him in verse 12, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house. But the angel could not tell him how to be saved, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Who shall tell thee words? Now, the angel knew what to do, but God was making a point. He's wanting you. He's not working through angels in the same way. The angel can come and tell you to go to someone, but the angel will not tell you how to be saved. Isn't that amazing? Because we're in a different age now. In the Old Testament, yes, the angel led them. The angel did all kinds of things. And still the angel, under God's direction, will protect us. But he will not give us words of salvation. The angel told him, who shall tell thee words whereby thy whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And now watch God's plan. God could have filled Cornelius with the Holy Ghost before Peter got there. When did Cornelius and his house receive the Holy Spirit? And as I began to speak, as you begin to speak, is when God will use the words that you are saying for the miracle. God waited. The angel spoke, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Wasn't until Peter came. What does it say? And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, just like it did on us at the beginning. What is that trying to tell you? Are you speaking to anybody? Are you giving your time? Is God first? Yes, God is first. Is he really? Can you prove that? Can you prove that? Can you prove that by your actions that he is first? We want God to put us first. Isn't that true? Lord, listen to my prayer. Fill my needs. I'm in desperate needs. Let's put it around. What are you doing for me? See, this is such a perfect example of the fact that God is looking for people. And as I began to speak, that's when the Holy Ghost fell on them. Not when the angels spoke. So the messengers today, in the Old Testament, the messengers were the angels. But today, we are supposed to be his messengers. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Who is he speaking to? Us. When did we do that? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe, and that word observe means to obey. Really, it should read teaching them to obey. Some of the things, only the things you like. Whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts 1:8, Jesus told them again. This time it's after the resurrection, the last major time he's speaking to them. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I'm going away. I want you to go and wait at Jerusalem until you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on you. And you shall be what? Sit in your pew, people, at church. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. Obeying the word is what makes you a Christian. It's great. It's great that we come to church. It's great that we come to church. I'm not knocking that. Come to church. Come to church until you learn to obey the word. But really, what makes us his disciples is when we obey what he said. And what he said was, you shall be witnesses. And in the Greek, that word means martyr. So that means that there's some suffering, there's some scorn, there's some people looking at you crazy. You know, if you go to Walmart and start handing out cards, they may say, excuse me, but you need to move outside or something. There'll be some pushback. Satan doesn't want you taking his territory. He's going to put up a fight. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. You know, a lot of us want to go on some mission trip. And we ignore the mission right around us. We want to go to some part of the world and come back and say 40,000 received the Holy Ghost and 100,000 were baptized. What about Milwaukee? When I go to the ministers' conferences and they ask me where I'm from, I say I'm from Pergamos. Now, you Bible students will know, you need to look that up. But Pergamos was one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And it says regarding Pergamos, it's where Satan's seat is. And most of the time, people don't look, when they look at me, they don't understand what I'm saying. But you know what? I also say, Romans 8, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. That grace should be from us to our community. God should be first, so therefore our time should be prioritized where he takes the most of it. If God is really first, isn't that true? I bet you it's not, you know, if someone was to take an accounting, follow you around with a stopwatch, You know, the 40 hours we do at work would probably be first. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. We can keep God first by what we think about. You know, this weekend I've been listening to a book, an audible book. But when Friday came, you know, I said to myself, I'm not going to listen to this book over this weekend because it's taking up all my time. And though I was tempted, I refused to turn the book on. I decided I'm going to get the Bible read to me, and I started to have that read to me over when I was driving. Because I said to myself, I need to make sure that my time is not taken up with stuff that is not really on God's business. There was nothing wrong with the book. It's not a bad book, but it wasn't really anything that was going to elevate me or edify me. And so I made a conscious choice. I had to make a conscious choice. Okay, I'm turning this off and I'm putting this on. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we have to make a conscious choice that God has to be first. I spent all this time speaking about the first T. I said there were three T's. Our time. The next one was of our talent. I'm just going to read this real quickly. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man. To every man and woman, he gave something. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So are we hiding the Lord's money? The Bible said when he arose, it didn't say he gave gift. It says he gave gifts, plural. So if you are filled with the Spirit, you have at least one gift. Now, that gift may not be behind the pulpit teaching, but the Bible speaks about helps. You clean the church, that's a help. Amen? There are things that you can do. You clean the snow, that's a help. There's media ministry, there's all kinds of things. Witnessing, that's a help. So what are we doing with our talent? You say, well, I'm not that guy. But have you? What have you done with the gift? Do you even know you had a gift? Because the Bible said when you received the Holy Spirit, he gave gifts. Gifts. If you're part of the body, you have a use. Did you know that? The body doesn't keep stuff that has no use. It gets rid of it. It gets rid of it. So if you're part of the body, you have a use. Which parts of your organs would you give up? You willing to give up any of them? No, because they have a use. But they're all different. But if some of them are not functioning, if one of them's not functioning, you know what happens to the body? You get sick. As a church, we are a body. And if we want to be a healthy church, all of you have to function. It's great that, you know, I'll give you an example. You go to the gym and you pick up a weight. And the only thing you ever exercise is your biceps. You're going to look pretty freakish. You're going to have like a big old bicep over here, and this is going to be looking like all wrong. When you go in for these bodybuilding competitions, one of the things they look for is what they call symmetry. They look to see that this arm looks the same as this arm. Or that this deltoid looks the same, because that's how they know you've only been working out one side. See, you look a bit freakish if all you do is one leg. You'll have this huge quads, and this look like a chicken foot. And you know what will happen? Instead of being able to run fast, you still won't be able to run because these two are not cooperating. This one is trying to pull, and this one can't. As a body, we need everyone's gift to manifest. Maybe you have the gift of just praying for people. You know, maybe you're an altar worker. Maybe you have the gift of just encouraging people. I didn't see you this week. I just want, you were on my mind. If it's left to me to call everybody that's missing, I'll forget people. But if the whole body, I'm talking about your talent. So in this parable, God gave one 5, one 2, and one 1. Now, he's not unfair. He didn't expect the one to who had one to make 5 of it. All he expected was to do something with it. So it's not that we're equal in talent, because I'll never be a marathon runner, right? But what am I doing with what I got? Instead of looking at someone else and saying, man, look at all the blessings he's got. Well, what have you done with what God has given you, Brother Tim? You're absolutely right. What stopped this person using their talent was fear. They were scared of messing up or losing it. That's what really drove them. They were afraid. Well, what if someone criticizes me? What if I go and call someone up and I don't remember what to say? Bible said, if you have the Spirit, it shall be given you what to say. So, we have to also, in putting God first, not bury our talent. You may say, I don't have a talent. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You may not know it, but you have a talent. Mark 16:16. These signs shall follow them that believe. What does it say? Is it one sign or multiple? It says, these signs, plural, shall follow them that believe in my name. And it gives a whole list of things. Trouble with us is once we receive the speaking in tongues, we think that's it. Okay, I can sit down now. I'm good to go. It says these signs. This church would be packed out if there were all the gifts manifesting, right? We'd have to have guards at the door. People would want to get in here because they've heard there's signs happening. So what's happened? The Lord is going to come back and said, okay, where's the talent I gave you? And you can say, well, Lord, I know you were a hard master, and I just didn't want to lose it, and I was afraid of other people and what they're going to say about me, so I just came to church. I did come to church, and I sat on the pew, and I let the pastor do everything. I mean, if you want to work, there is work. I mean, there's all kinds of ministries. We need bus drivers. We need Sunday school people. We need children's ministry. But everyone just wants to preach. There's more than preaching behind here. Do you understand that? That's not the only ministry. If it was up to me, you could be welcome because... But it's like there's only one ministry. There's not only one ministry. There's cleaning the church. There's painting the church. There's all kinds of stuff in here need doing. Is God first? Or did you just buy some land you got to fix? Because they came to Jesus with all these excuses. This is not new. But look at what happened to the people who dropped everything and said, I'm going to follow you. He walked by the seashore, and he sees these men. They, do you understand? He picked people who were already busy. They already had jobs. They weren't just lounging about, you know, with a straw in their teeth. These people had good jobs. They had businesses. And he comes by Peter and says, follow me. The most amazing, shocking thing is the Bible uses this word. It says, and immediately. They didn't make excuses. Well, I'm going to follow you. Give me a week. Give me a week. I just got to... The Bible said they dropped their... Think about the incredible faith that must have taken to just leave your work and follow this person who is teaching. He hadn't even done a miracle yet. But because of that, when we go to the book of Revelation, we read the New Jerusalem, and whose foundation is the 12 apostles. Their names are going to be forever engraved. Why? Because Jesus said, no one hath left houses, land, father, mother, business, whatever, that he shall not receive a hundredfold, plus life everlasting. You can't buy that from Mutual of Omaha. There's no insurance companies. They sell term life, whole life, but none of them sell everlasting life. That's the only policy you can get is in heaven. But it means, and I'm out of time, giving our talent. I didn't even get to the third one. Giving our treasure. Now, you know this church is not about money, but it's in the Bible, so I got to preach it. And you almost never hear me preach it. For some people, it's a big deal. Of course, there are churches that abuse and misuse what comes in. I'm afraid I could never be driving around in a Rolls Royce and have, you know, people in need. That is just an abuse of what God's ministry is supposed to be about. But the Bible tells us that you're not giving to me, you're giving as unto the Lord. And many times, you know, God taught me a lesson. I've told you before, it's been several years ago, and I'm going to finish with this. We were going somewhere, and we had to stop and pick up a present. We were going to I forgot what it was, but we had to buy a present. We rode up to this place, and I told you, I saw this lady buy this 55-gallon trash can digging in there. So I said, okay, she's a panhandler. I'm going to avoid her, because I just didn't want to be hassled. So I parked the car way on the other side. My wife went in, and then I saw her digging in there, and then something hit me here. Something hit me here. And God convicted me and said, she's in need, and you won't help her? And I had a $20 bill. That's all I had. So I drove down there, and I saw her digging in there, and I saw her pick out something like she was going to eat it. And God convicted me right then and there. So I called her over, and she knew I had seen her eating this thing out of the trash can. And she was defensive. She said, well, I'm hungry. And God convicted me then. Because all of you are so blessed. You may think you're not blessed, but you're blessed. See, when God says, I should be first, there's going to be a time when he says, I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was in prison. You didn't visit me. Because he says, as you have done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. That's why, yes, people will be scamming us. I'm sure we get scammed. But they are going to have to answer to God. They're going to have to answer to God. Usually, if I have it, I try and give it. A lot of times I don't have it. But when I gave her the money, she thought it was a dollar. And I could see when she opened it up and found out it was $20, because I was driving away, she did it. She lifted her hands and started worshiping. And that taught me a lesson. We're not going to be able to finish this today, if you could stand. But if you could remember that God wants us to give our time, our talent, and our treasure to him first. That's why one of the seven feasts was called the feast of what? First fruits. Israel was commanded, whenever you harvest, before you even do anything, you first have to bring that first sheaf of grain. whether it be barley, whether it be wheat, whether it be the oil or the wine, and you bring it to God first. First. That's why the lamb had to be perfect, unblemished. Everything had to be the best. When you give God the best of yourself, He's going to give you the best of Himself. You want blessing? You want deliverance? You want God to put your business first? Then you need to give Him your best and put Him first. Hallelujah. We're going to close our Sunday school today. But if you could remember these three things, God wants your time, your talent, which He gave you, and your treasure, which also He gave you, because He can take it away at any moment. Bible says if He was to withdraw His very breath, hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts and heads with me, Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. Let it be an anointing to us. Lord, help us to really decide in our hearts to prioritize You and Your kingdom first, to seek You first, and all the other things, Lord God, that You know that we need, You will provide. We thank You today for Your blessing and Your greatness and Your glory. Lord, anoint us. Bless our second service. Let Your word go forth with power. Lord, as we give You our praise and our worship, we thank You, hallelujah, for a touch and anointing in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let's come and give to God His worship in second service. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.